So we're going to talk about being emerging leaders. How does God call us as leaders to emerge? And what's the process he takes a lot of his leaders through? And I remember when I was in college, so like Justin back in the day, more than a few years ago for me, I was a commuter at the college I was going to. And I was walking through the parking lot and there was a staff person. She was there and she said, "Hey, Jared, I think you should apply for student leadership." She said, "You should apply for an orientation assistant." And I like looked at her, and to be honest with you, I had never thought about applying for student leadership at my university. It never like crossed my mind. But she saw something in me that I didn't see, that she began to call out and draw out. And to be honest with you, I probably would not have even applied for student leadership if she didn't say something to me. So it took this other leader like seeing something in my life saying, "Hey, I see leadership in you and I think you should go for it." So I filled out that application and they accepted me to this orientation position. And it was crazy because that was one of the first like leadership positions like post high school that God had me step into that literally set me on this trajectory for being here today. And so it was this leader who said, "Hey, I see potential in you. You should try it and go for it." And God honored that, and he began to use that to shape me and to really grow me. And another thing that was connected with that college experience, I went to Amsterdam for my internship, and I was in the red light district there doing an internship in a Christian youth hostel. And there was this missionary team from the States. This pastor had come, and I went and hung out with them at the park, and he looked right at me and he said, "Jared," he said, "you're called to be a leader and you're called to lead teams." And when he said that, I was like learning to hear God's voice then, but I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like God just like spoke to me. And it was kind of crazy because it was this other leader in my life, in terms of like just a short-term experience with him, but he saw something in me and in my life and he called it out and he drew it out of me. And I still remember that word from him to me about leadership to this day. Like literally has shaped who I am. And so God is going to call us out as leaders. God's going to give each of you these experiences to say, "Hey, here's an opportunity for you. Will you step into this leadership that I'm wanting to raise you up in?" And so let's look at Joseph's story in chapter 39. And what we'll do is, instead of reading all of it, I'll just summarize the portions of it because we just did that deep dive in Discovery Bible Study together. But what we'll do is we'll look at verses 1 through 6a. And so what happened was Joseph got sold into these traders, and then the traders went and sold him at this market, and this guy Potiphar ended up buying Joseph. And so think of Potiphar as this super wealthy guy. He's a captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So think of like the special forces guy who's to protect the most powerful person in the world. How much wealth this dude must have. Like, so think about like wealth and influence and authority that he carries on his life. And then Joseph is put in charge of everything for Pharaoh's household. And basically everything that Joseph touches turns to gold. And so then Pharaoh says, "Hey, you're in charge of everything except what I eat. I'll be concerned with my food. But other than that, like, you have everything." So imagine like if you gave someone $1,000 in your life and they turned that around and gave you $1 million like within the year. That's pretty much what Joseph was for Potiphar in those ways. And so let me throw this up there. I don't think any of us wants to be sold into slavery and then like put in a position where we're working for someone else, helping them make a lot of money. You're like, "I want to make that money for myself, but it's going to someone else," right? And so God is going to use bad situations as assignments and tests. So God is going to use bad situations in our lives as assignments for us and as tests. So God's first assignment for Joseph was to be a slave in Potiphar's house. You're like, "Hey, the God of the universe whom I serve, you know, I love you, I give my life to you, and then you're gonna put me as a slave in a house as my first assignment." But here's the thing, as Joseph worked hard, God was with Joseph and caused him to be successful. So if you think about, like it says, Joseph worked hard and put himself pretty much to everything. If Joseph would have been a lazy servant and didn't do anything for Potiphar, I don't think God would have prospered him. But because Joseph worked hard and honored God in his work, God gave him favor and gave him the ability to be successful. So then Potiphar recognized Joseph's success and gave him more responsibility. So the more that Joseph was faithful and prospered in the work he had, God actually expanded his influence and his impact for what he was doing in his life. So in the same way, if you think about in your life, if you're faithful with the little that God gives you and you steward it well, he wants to continue to increase your influence and your impact for his kingdom and for the gospel. So God uses bad situations as assignments and tests. And you're thinking like, what is the whole purpose of God putting us in bad situations that we don't want to be in or testing us in these situations? If you can frame this up for your life, it'll set you up for success. So the purpose is to train you and to form you internally in your character and to test you to see what's really inside of you. Because how many of y'all had friends and then they were your friends until you had conflict and maybe they weren't your friends as much anymore or maybe your friends at all? In the same way, like, conflict is going to draw out for people for who they really are. One of the things I've shared with Ethan on our journey of training for church planting multiplication is, man, you got to get to know someone for a year to really find out, like, who they are. Because up front, like, people can look a certain way, but once you dig into their life and conflict happens with them, and then they, like, might give you the finger or walk away, or, like, you're like, oh, man, like, that's, like, who you are. Like, they're like, hey, can we, like, talk about this and work this out? In the same way, when God tests you, God wants to know that he can trust you as a leader and how you as a leader will respond to these situations that aren't ideal or benefit you directly. So I'll say that again because that is like the gold of what I think God wants to draw out for us. So God wants to know if he can trust you as a leader and how you as a leader will respond to situations that are not ideal and don't directly benefit you but will benefit other people. And so God is going to use these tests and these really hard situations to draw out who you are on the inside because God wants to see who you are and how you're going to respond. So God is wanting to know what is in the heart of a potential leader. So God wants to know what's in your heart and he's going to draw that out by putting you in really horrible circumstances, to be honest, because he wants to say what's inside of you and how are you going to respond and how are you going to navigate those really difficult situations. Man, so when I first got hired at AP, when I worked there for my 6-year stretch, my first month into the job, they're like, AP is in a financial crisis and all these issues are going on and all these things. And so like 4 weeks in, they had this meeting. They told AP all this stuff. This is all public information, most of it. And so it was allegedly like so many millions of dollars were like, there was shortfall, but there was a lot of probably a potential other financial mismanagement into like the tens of millions of dollars. So, and there were some challenges that they had with some things that had went public and were in the news. And so APU went into this like free fall, like really fast. And I'm like, hey, I just moved to SoCal with my family to take this job. And they're telling me like, I probably won't have a job very soon. And so we all, like, there's some people here from APU. We went through it all, right? And come to find out, I ended up losing my job halfway through the school year with the ability to finish out this semester. So it benefits them, right? To me, it benefits that I finish out my job for them for the academic year. And then they said, hey, you don't have a job. The challenging thing was, is my other colleagues, like they kept their jobs. I didn't keep my job. And then a guy later on who said, hey, you can keep your job, later lost his job. But they said, we'll find you a job. Don't worry. And I was never told any of that stuff. And so I got really screwed over with the way some things went down. And I'm like, God, I moved here because you told me to move here and take this job. And you know what God was wanting to do? I think he was wanting to test my character, my attitude. Will you be faithful to stick out this job that I've called you to when other people are checking out and cutting corners and not even showing up to work and still getting paid? Are you going to show up 100%? Are you going to do your job? Are you going to finish well? And that's what I think he was testing me in, is he wanted to test me and form my character, my heart, my attitude, his faithfulness to him, my faithfulness to the job, even though it wasn't super benefiting me in the long run, but it was going to benefit other people. And so God will put us in these really bad or hard situations as assignments for us and as tests. So when you look at Joseph here going into the last part of chapter, verse 6 through verse 18. So Joseph's prospering, but then the test comes. So think about Joseph. This dude was probably managing like tens of millions of dollars worth of assets. This dude had access to finances. He had access to people. He determined his own schedule. Basically, he kind of like ruled his life underneath Potiphar. But there's one thing he didn't have. You know what he didn't have? He didn't have a really hot woman to connect with. No, but seriously, that's what it really was. The one thing he didn't have was Potiphar's wife. Okay, so if you think about Potiphar, this dude's one of the most powerful people in the entire world. What do you think his wife is going to be like? Right? She's going to be the top tier wife probably in the entire land of Egypt and probably the entire world. And so if you're Joseph and you have access to everything, like and then Potiphar's wife comes on the scene saying, "Hey, sleep with me." Like literally it's being presented to Joseph, he can have everything that he's ever wanted. But he chose to say no. He kept saying no to Potiphar's wife. He kept setting boundaries, right? So he maintained his character. And when she's saying, "Hey, sleep with me," did you catch what he said? He said, "I don't want to dishonor God," right? That was his response. It had secondarily to do with him and in his role, but first it had to do with God. So he put God first in his life, and he was willing to do whatever it took to be obedient to God, no matter the cost. And so this is where that test comes. So she lines it up. I mean, you have to think about this, right? She's probably super sharp. She was like setting this thing up to get what she wanted. And everything's in its place. It's just him and her. And she says, "Sleep with me." He says, "No." And if you notice, like, his cloak was left in her hands. Who do you think was grabbing Joseph? Right? So there was a lot going on there. And Joseph bails out. And he gets set up in terms of her telling other people, "Hey, she tried to rape me. She tried to do, or he did, tried to do all these things." And then this puts Joseph in a pretty bad position. Because remember, he's still a slave, right? And then you got Potiphar's wife. And what her word is going to say is what's going to go. So when Potiphar gets home, she tells him everything. And that was pretty much the end of it for Joseph there. Joseph then gets thrown into prison. So Joseph had a decision to make. And that decision would determine his destiny. And I'll propose this to you. I think Joseph had already made the decision prior, before that moment ever happened. I think that he was intelligent. He prayed. He sought God. And God was already working in his life. So that when that decision hit his life, he had already decided in the moment. Because if you think about like this, this was probably Joseph's greatest temptation, right? It didn't say he had a wife. And so he was still lacking something, that a human need that he had in his life. So if you think about yourself, like the tests that God is going to allow you to face are going to be uniquely tailored to you. So the tests that you will face will be uniquely tailored to you. So like the tests that I'll face, like you all would be like, "Oh my gosh, that's so easy. Like, why is that even hard for you?" Right? But for me, it's going to be the hardest thing I got to face. And then for me, if you told me your greatest test, I might be like, "Oh my gosh, like that doesn't even faze me. Like, how are you freaking out?" And you're like, "Wah!" Right? It's because God is going to test you where you need to be tested. If you think about in Luke chapter 4 with Jesus, it says that the Spirit of God led Jesus into the desert to be tested by the devil. So the Spirit of God led Jesus to be tested. So God will actually lead you into tests for his purposes for your life. And I want to share this with you too. If this hasn't happened for you yet, it's happened for me. But this, please hold on to this. There are certain decisions that will determine our entire destiny. And we will have one opportunity with no retries. So there will be certain tests on our journey that will be very few, but they will determine our destiny. And if we fail that test in that moment, there's no retry. Because if you think about, like with Joseph's situation, if he would have slept with Potiphar and dishonored God, do you think God's favor would have continued on Joseph's life? I don't think so. I think we might have not even read about Joseph, or it would have been like, and then Potiphar found out, he slept with his wife and cut off his head, right? And then there's the end of Joseph. So there's going to be certain tests that we'll face that we got one shot. And we have to determine in advance what we will do when those tests come. And then what happens that's even worse, as it continues on for Joseph, is that Potiphar's wife has an accusation against Joseph. So she accuses him of something that's not even true. And did you guys notice what Joseph didn't do? He didn't defend himself. Like, he did not make an argument. He did not make a case. I actually think he entrusted himself to God because God knew the truth and so did Joseph. And Joseph didn't need to convince anyone else of his right standing with God. He already knew he was right with God and God knew he was right with him. And so he rested in that. And so hear this too. This is a pretty rough, but it's true. Just because you were wronged doesn't mean God is going to make it right. There is purpose in forming you as a leader so you can be trusted. So just because you were wronged doesn't mean God is going to make it right. There's a purpose in forming you as a leader so you can be trusted. So God is going to allow us to be accused wrongfully. He's going to allow situations to happen in our lives that are just full-on lies that attack our character. And you know what? There's going to be times where he's literally not going to make it right for us. He's going to allow that to go unresolved so that he wants to see, what are we going to do when that happens? Are we going to submit to him and allow him to be the one who judges us? Or are we going to fight against the person or the system rather than submit to Jesus? And so we have to think about Jesus. He was wrongfully accused. He was tortured and he was crucified. And he submitted himself to the Father in obedience to him. So Jesus set the example for us that he was wrongfully accused and he never received the right verdict until the Father raised him from the dead. So in our journey of church planting, man, if I had to say like one theme for us when we started was like, it was disappointments. Like disappointments was like one of the biggest themes. I remember when we were going through this process, trying to getting part of this church planting network. And, we submitted everything. They're like, hey, you guys look great. We want you to come to this training. And then we're going to interview you right after. We actually want to streamline you guys through our interview process to get you plugged into our network and everything like that. So they were still reviewing our application. And then they sent us this email. Hey, can we schedule a phone call? Which, you know, means like, what's up? Like, what's like going on? And they get on this phone call with us. They're super kind. They're like, hey, guys, like, your marriage is super strong. Your finances are awesome. But you don't have enough ministry experience. And so we're not going to move forward with you with our organization. And we were so disappointed. Like, we were like, oh, man, we're going to be one of the best church planting networks in our entire nation, potentially the entire world. And they told us we didn't have enough ministry experience. And then that left us at like, man, who's our crew? Like, who's our people? We don't have anyone that we can journey with. And so we were disappointed for a while, but it was really interesting looking back now, because if we would have joined their church planting network, we couldn't be doing what we're doing, because our model for multiplication wouldn't have fit their model. And so God will allow these bad circumstances to happen in our eyes, because he actually wants us to get on his trajectory and his plans for our lives. So God's best and his vision for us, it has greater purposes when we face disappointments. And then when we go through verses 19 through 23, what you see is that doesn't go well for Joseph again. He gets put in prison, and then he ends up getting favor with the warden, and he ends up running the entire prison just like he did over at Potiphar's house. So there's fallout with this accusation. It leads to wrongful imprisonment. And then what seems like a demotion leads to God's next assignment for training, formation, and testing. So what seems like a demotion leads to God's next assignment for training, forming, and testing. So God sees this whole thing in terms of as an arc. God sees this in terms of how he's forming us through all these different experiences and what he's wanting to do in us as leaders. Because I'll tell you this, just in my leadership experience, I've found for me, God is less concerned about what I do, however many churches we plant, how many disciples we make, how many baptisms we see, and like all that stuff that's future vision oriented. I find at the end of the day, he's more concerned about my character in my heart and my obedience to him. At the end of the 40-day Daniel fast, I'll share this with a few of you, like, God convicted me so much of my sin of control. It was like full on in my face. I talk to Ethan about this a lot. He prayed for me. Thank you, Ethan. Right before I started my fast. And so after that 40-day fast, I was like, man, I need to like really deal with this. And so my next 3-day fast that I did for this past month was like, God, crucify control from my heart. Like, remove it from me. Help me get free from this sin. Because God was more concerned about my heart as a leader, my character, than he was about seeing all these awesome things happen. Because if he gives a leader like all this success, but their character's in the trash, like all these people are gonna get hurt from it. And there is a dog just jumped on me, for those of you that are listening. So we never had that happen yet at Enrich. So all I have to say is like, and if you look at some of the stuff that's been going on in like the media and the news of these leaders who had all this quote unquote success, they fall, right? Because of all these character issues they'd never resolved. Like, it hurt a lot of people. So that's why God cares more about our character and our heart, our integrity, more than our success. Because God wants to see as a leader, like, hey, can I trust you? Because God wants to be able to trust us. Like with, you think about like our kids, right? We wouldn't just give our kids to anyone. Like, my list of people I trust our kids with is super short. In the same way, it's like, God wants to say, hey, can I trust you with my kids? Right? Can I trust you with the responsibilities for the kingdom and for the gospel? And so God needed to work out character dynamics in Joseph to continue to promote him. So this is super important. So for God to promote you in his kingdom, he needs to continue to work out character issues in your heart and my heart, right? I just confessed all that mess to you. That he needs to work it out in our hearts so he can continue to promote us. And I'll tell you, it doesn't end. It's cyclical. It's like there's all this fruit that happens, and then he's like, all right, season of pruning. All right, season of fruit, season of pruning. Season of fruit, season of pruning. He wants to work out these character issues in us so he can continue to promote us. And this is where it's kind of rough, is unresolved character issues led to more circumstances until those would be fully resolved so Joseph could be a trusted leader. Did you notice it was like a cycle? The same thing kept happening to Joseph, like sold into slavery, put in this like position, put in prison. It was like, why do you think God kept doing that? It's because there were these things in Joseph's heart and his character that needed to be worked out before he could be made the second person in charge of all of Egypt, the second most powerful person in the world. So for you guys, in terms of like, for us, the application points, passing God's tests leads to promotion. So if you, as you guys pass God's tests in your life, he will promote you in his kingdom. And that might look like a natural job promotion, like it was for Joseph in certain ways. It might be expanded sphere of influence in terms of like, quote unquote, like ministry impact in terms like for gospel, for discipleship, for baptisms, things like that. But failing leads to the merry-go-round. How many of y'all love merry-go-rounds? My kids like, they're fun. There's one at Knott's that we do. Yeah, okay, a couple of them, right? But nobody wants to get stuck on the merry-go-round of life. You're like, I keep going through the same test over and over and over. But God is saying, hey, when you pass your test, you can get off the merry-go-round, right? So when we fail these tests, God will give us more chances. But here's the thing, is we choose the outcome. It all comes down to obedience. Talking with someone over here, I won't name them just in case it's recorded, or it's recorded, people like listen to the future. They were walking someone through discipleship, and they said in lesson 7, a heel made whole. It's like all about surrender. And it's like, do you want to surrender your life to Jesus, like everything, or do you want to continue to do your own thing? And the person was like wrestling, like, what do I really want to do? Do I want to live for me, or do I really want to live for Jesus? Because if I give up everything and live for Jesus, he might ask me to do all these things, right? And so ultimately, we choose the outcome. And as all of you are experiencing like more of God's power and spirit in your life, like if you're faithful with the little things that he gives to you, he will actually increase and give you more because you've been proven faithful and trustworthy. So God's testing is all about your character, your integrity, and your obedience. And so I really want us to frame as emerging leaders here that God's interactions in your life with all these circumstances are actually really intentional for you. So as you guys have stuff going on at school or in the workplace, or as you're out planning churches, or you're doing stuff with your family and things are going on, and you're like, this is not going according to my plan, or like, this is really hard, or like, this shouldn't have happened. God is actually trying to get your attention that he's wanting to do things inside of you. He's wanting to work out your character, your integrity, and he's wanting to see if you will be obedient to what he is wanting you to do rather than what you're wanting to do or what we are wanting to do ourselves. And so to set ourselves up for success, I have this handout I'm going to give to you guys, which you can do here or you can do in your own time with Jesus this week. So I'm going to pass it out right now. So it's a leadership emergence reflection on your life experiences. It says you emerging as a leader with God. So the more that we reflect and understand what God is doing in our lives, we can better respond to it and receive the more that he has for us. So if you look about this, kind of like a timeline of sorts. So you have formative life experiences, formative leadership experiences, mentors and other impactful leaders, areas of brokenness and healing, formative experiences or encounters with God, and that ultimately leads to a sense of destiny or life purpose. And some of this is drawn from a book called The Making of a Leader by Robert Clinton, which is probably one of the top three books for me that I've read that shaped my life, which has been helpful. And I literally go back to it in certain seasons and read sections again to understand what God is doing so I could submit and align with him with what he wants to do. So I would encourage you either today or like in your time with Jesus this week, you can take a pen and you can kind of just draw like little lines off of those and write out for each one what you're seeing. And then when you do that, you can see these themes that God is doing in your life and how he's forming you as a leader. And this is what I'll close with. I really believe that anybody can be a leader in the kingdom of God. And for me, it's been funny because the people, I don't think the world would choose to be leaders in God's kingdom. It's like when those people have said yes to Jesus, he's used them to do all this impact. And we've seen it time and time again. And the people that the world would choose to be leaders, those are the people that often have caused the most challenges on our journey and not produce any fruit, produce thorns and thistles in certain ways. And so I think what it comes down to with God, it's the opposite of the world's system. It's really about the condition of our heart with God, our character, our integrity, and our obedience to him, and our willingness simply to say yes and to keep being obedient to him and showing up to what he wants us to do. So I just want to encourage all of you that Jesus has this destiny he's designed for each of you, this blueprint. And if you can understand what he's doing now in this season, like what we see in Joseph's life, it'll actually set you up for success to pass your tests so that God can continue to promote you. So as we close, let me pray us out, and then we'll avoid all these parrots that keep dropping stuff over here. So Jesus, we're grateful this morning. Thanks for our extended times of just sharing and testimony of what you've been doing in our lives. And thank you for your word and how we can look at Joseph's life and what you allowed to happen, these bad circumstances and horrible situations that were assignments and tests for him to form his character, his heart and his attitude, so that you could actually promote him in the end to have greater influence for your purposes here on the earth. So Jesus, I pray that you would continue to form us and shape us through our bad experiences or through our challenges that we face, knowing that we can position ourselves before you to say, okay, Jesus, what are you doing? What do you want to do in me? And how can I partner with you so that you can do what needs to be done in me in this season so that you can promote me for greater fruit and impact for your kingdom and your glory throughout the earth. So Jesus, would you give us the ability to pass those tests? And in it, I just pray our relationship with you, Jesus, becomes so much deeper and stronger and more fulfilling. Because at the end of the day, I think that's what you're looking for, is just relationships with your leaders so that you can work through us to impact people. So Jesus, I pray that as everyone gets ready for the new week, that you would align your will and your blueprints for them this week. I pray that you would fill us with your spirit to empower us to live on mission for you in our spheres of influence, to love on people, to encourage people, to share the gospel with them and our Jesus story, and or pray with people and invite them into a relationship with you and see you radically transform their lives. I pray that you would give parents here wisdom and grandparents here wisdom to best raise their kids and their grandkids and to pray for them. Jesus, would you continue to build strong marriages for those in our community and those that are looking to get married? Would you continue to prepare them for marriage and prepare their spouse so when they come together, they have a really strong, healthy marriage? Jesus, would you continue to build a spirit of unity in our families And we ask your protection over all of our families and respective loved ones that are represented here today. And we ask that you'd assign your angels to us for your kingdom and gospel purposes. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.